Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Okay, cool. Well, let's get into the show. So we found out yesterday morning that old Narc Zuckerberg basically got his shit together, and he was trying to show us that he's looking out for us this time and saying that they detected some bad pages, saying that they had removed pages that had more than 290,000 followers. The most followed Facebook pages were Azatlan Warriors, Black Elevation, and Mindful Being and Resistors. And the company said
Black
that pages, we'll get into that. said the pages ran 150 ads for a total of approximately $11,000. And they were saying that, yes, this is part of their campaign, essentially, to further get people to identify with a side so it's easier to begin dividing and conquering from the inside. Now, when you look, though, at the pages, right, like you were even like, what? Black Elevation? It was just stuff of like Huey Newton or like other people that were just sort of like black leaders. I think it's meant to basically get people who identify with any kind of black liberation movement or something to further kind of put themselves in that side. So I'm sure for your disinformation campaigns, it's easier for you to target people based on their likes or whatever. But then the other ones were kind of
interesting. So it was playing both sides.
Yeah, that's always. I mean, and even in 2016, that was the case too. Like they had
like creating fake conflicts.
Yeah, there was one called Blacktivist. That was a Russian-made page that was meant to just, it was showing a lot of police brutality videos and essentially just stoke the rage on both sides to get it to a fever pitch. But when you look at some of the stuff, like Resistors is one of the pages, right? And like in that one, it was, you know, it's just a sort of a resist Trump kind of normal Facebook group. And one of the pages, like a Facebook was showing, like, here's some of the posts that we took down from the groups that we had to take down. And this one from the Resistors was just said, women do not have to, and it was a bullet-pointed list, be thin, cook for you, have long hair, wear makeup, be feminine, be graceful, have sex with you, shave, diet, be fashionable, wear pink, love men, listen to your bullshit. And so
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, right. So it was a little bit like, okay.
Like, are they going overboard?
Right.
They were like, look, we took down some conspiracy groups. Have y'all heard of this bitch, Susan G. Komen? She been out here passing out ribbons and shit. Yeah. We got rid of her ass on Facebook.
I don't know what cure she racing for.
But we over that.
She better be racing for the door.
We cancel her. Like, what? Are y'all looking at this shit?
Then another one was Mindful Being, which was just sort of like a trippy spiritual kind of group. And this one was like, you know, that like weird psychedelic art that fucking people sell it like Venice Boardwalk, and it just says, we must unlearn what we have learned because a conditioned mind cannot comprehend the infinite. And I mean, that is really the
so
biggest threat
like,
to our democracy.
They're just like basic bitches. They were like, Russia was like, we're going to be basic on Facebook.
Or something. I mean, another one
we're
was
just going to be annoying.
Another one was like a confront fascism, just basically a counter protest to the Unite the Right rally that might happen on the on August 10th, 12th around the Charlottesville anniversary in D.C. So it was interesting, like, a lot of people were just sort of like, oh, yeah, good thing they took these dangerous-ass
like,
images
what?
Down that, like, they weren't as, you know, because the last one, it was, like, more sort of in your face, right?
Yeah.
It would be, like, Jesus and fucking Satan arm wrestling.
Yeah.
And like, and Satan was like, if I win, Hillary wins. And then Jesus is like, not if I can do something about it. And he has like a MAGA hat on. Like,
Lord.
I get.
They're oiled up.
Yeah. No, it really was. It was wild. Like, also.
It's like pseudo erotic.
Hey, my guy, Beelzebub, he's been working in the gym because fucking those biceps were jacked, daddy.
I've been with Satan shooting in the gym.
Satan's going to fuck Jesus.
Yeah. Like,
wins.
They're so hot. And yeah, so it was a little bit odd because those were a little more like overt propaganda,
yeah.
Or other ones are just like Hillary has like this, you know, underground pedophile network.
Right.
But I guess at the very least, it's good
she
to
doesn't?
Know. Well, you know, I don't want to say on this show because
so are
we
they
don't,
saying that
but
they...
she might or might not. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, what does this do? It just divides people.
Well, yeah, I think
for
that's
no reason.
The biggest thing is that the more you can get people to feel like if there's a binary choice, if like if am I on this side or that side,
yes.
The more entrenched people are going to get,
yes.
And it's going to be harder for us to recover or be able to see
if you,
past that.
If you give people two choices, they will always fight each other.
Right.
So
more
they...
choices makes them think clearer.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is why Cheesecake Factory.
Two choices is us versus them. Cheesecake Factory, no Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, Cheesecake Factory, you just go, fuck this place.
Roll the dice.
Yeah, it's too
Wait,
many things.
So are they saying that these pages were operated by Russians?
Well, they have a reason to believe it because the same tactics or the way that they were saying it was like inauthentic behavior activity that they were creating, like it was the same sort of game plan or methodology that was used in 2016.
And it's
I don't know if it's Russia, right? They're just saying it's like these people that wanted to influence
the
election. Yeah,
but it's most like anything else, like where it started through Romania or like Macedonia or something, but
so it's
the GRU.
So it's like the same location.
Yeah, they're just being smarter because the last time also they paid in rubles for their ads, so that was a clear thing. So now they're paying in like Canadian and American dollars.
I mean, it's crazy, but is it illegal? Is it just kind of fucked up?
What
or
they've
is it...
done to influence our elections, like they kind of deemed that it was unethical, mm-hmm. and Facebook has really tried to come back and make sanctions. Only because they ass got lit up in court.
Yeah. Well, they've had to do
something. And they lost like $18 billion last week.
123.
Really?
Yeah. Overnight.
Yeah. 123. I thought, maybe Zuckerberg himself lost
$18
billion.
Yeah, he lost that, but the company itself lost 123.
Yeah, the stock went down.
That's worth four Twitters.
So is it like they make these pages to try to garner like a certain demographic, and then during election season they start using that? Like, because you like a page, you can see everything that they post. So is it like then they switch it up?
It's just more to create as much chaos as possible, because the more you have people thinking, well, I'm on this side fighting Black Lives Matter people.
Okay.
And I'm on Black Lives Matter side fighting these fucking fascists or whatever. Their whole point is to be as divisive as possible, create as much division as possible. Okay. When really we know who the fucking enemy is. It's the fucking billionaires at the top, not each other. They got us fucked up fighting each other when look at who owns all the wealth. And that's why, who's a greater threat to you, ISIS or your crippling medical debt?
Right.
And then who do you assign
Immediate
that to?
Threat.
So, you know, that's... Okay. That's my moment of wokeness.
Good for you, Facebook. I'm glad y'all haven't caught my pages yet. Mail cash.
Mail me cash.
Y'all keep
you
liking my
me
page.
At Barry
Mail
Rothbard
me cash.
On Facebook. Yeah. And who's on Facebook still?
Like old people.
It's just our dad's worst friends that are all just like yelling at each other.
I'm going to start.
TJ Miller. Is that what you said?
I'm going to draft one of those scary Facebook messages, the chain messages.
Oh, yeah. Because
I want to see if I can get one popping.
You probably could.
Yeah.
Honestly, you could.
Because I'm tired of my old-ass uncle sending me that shit.
Right.
Honestly, I just
like,
want to
watch out. Don't sit on those movie theater seats. You might get AIDS. Right? Somebody put a needle on
Is that true?
That was like a shit from AOL.
Yeah, my mom used to say that.
I'm going to write
and
one.
Tuna.
Someone's
she thought tuna
these.
Fish gave you AIDS.
Really?
Yeah.
Tuna fish.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll explore that later.
I just want to play Farmville.
Right.
That's all.
And then
I
be left
do.
Alone.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things is because Facebook has caught so much heat and like conservatives are like, you're censoring our free speech. When it's like, hold on, you have people out here calling gun violence victims crisis actors and shit like that to completely misinform and obscure actual world events. That should be off the fucking internet because that's harmful and it doesn't help anyone aside from creating, you know, sort of inoculating your followers against reason or to be, you know, more receptible to whatever narrative you want to give them. That
yeah, but you can't
sense.
Do the problem is, I agree, you can't take lying off the internet, though. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, at
like,
the very
you can't
least,
be like,
you can get
oh,
it off
this
Facebook.
Is a bad lie.
You can get it off Facebook at the very least. I mean, that we'll never control people's sort of impulse to do that, but I think at the very least, if you're at the, you know, if you're at the levers of Facebook, then you can be like,
or you
is
have
harmful.
To kind of make it clear that these aren't real people anymore. Like, Facebook is not like, that's a person who's a real person. Like, we're just kind of chaos.
Right.
We're just MySpace now. So come here if you really feel like it.
Yeah, right.
You know? Because you're pretending that these are real people.
Well, I think a lot of older people, though, who that's their connection to news and other things like that. I think younger people might be a little more savvy and still use it just as general communication.
It's
got
to be caution.
Yeah. But I think, on one side, because Republicans have pressed them so hard, it's like a lot of these pages are more left-leaning. I feel like it's also showing them, they're like, hey, man, we also caught some bad stuff that was meant to like get liberals excited. You know, it wasn't just all the stuff that's like, you know, anti.
Yeah, it seems
stuff.
Like they really kind of came out to be like, look, Trump supporters, like we shut down Black Elevation.
Yeah, like it's like, hey, but it was fake, so you know, whatever. And then
we hated the Ghostbusters reboot.
Yeah,
it's like, wait, what?
It's like, guys, we're on everybody's side.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay.
It's not just about Trump.
Yeah, but the problem is there's no like cool young progressives that are still going on Facebook every day. It's like older Trump supporters.
I mean, I'll be on there.
Really?
Yeah, but I also used to make fake MySpace accounts. So.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I've been creating fake MySpace accounts to affect the election.
Still, right?
Yeah. It's not working as well as I would have thought.
Fake bands. I just create fake bands.
The microwave.
Trump is in my top eight.
Chelsea, what is something that is overrated?
True love.
Mm.
I'm joking.
So you're single.
No.
So you're single.
I'm joking. Something overrated. I think fine dining, like anything where it's tiny portions, but it's like from some guy with a neck tattoo and he's like,
oh, like gastro pubby shit.
Yeah. Like I'm just like, I better be full. If I'm going to spend like, they charge so much for every little, you know, bite that I'm like, bitch, I better be full when I leave here if I'm going to drop like $150-$200 on this meal.
Like plus. Being Japanese, if I see like an $8 plate of shishito peppers, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Shit's cost a fucking $1. And you threw a little fucking soy sauce on there and a sesame seed. And you're like, these are blistered shishito peppers.
A surprising amount of sugar when white people do it, I feel like.
Really?
It's always like a sweet glaze kind of jam at those places.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, what are you doing?
I don't, you know, see, that's where I have to draw the line. But yeah, especially with the small plates thing. And at first it was fun because it felt like, man, I can taste a bunch of shit. But if each plate is like $8 to fucking $14, that adds up.
Oh, that is like, I've been to some places here in LA where it's like $40 for a side of cauliflower. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Okay, money bag. That's Chelsea.
What is cauliflower, though?
Where are you going where they got $40 cauliflower?
I'm not going to name names because I do write about food, so I don't want to, you know, be a
put
dick.
Them on the spot.
But there are some places in here in LA that are so overrated. I'm like,
just everyone... say it right now. We're going to censor it.
All right. There's this place called You're not going to censor it, but it's fine. There's this place called
We will censor it.
And I fucking hate this place so much because everybody, like, you know, comes to this place. Like, they, like, jizz all over this place.
Oh,
they're just,
right.
like, constantly, like, it's the best. It's the best. It's so expensive. The food is, like, fine.
Right.
It's not great. It's
but
fine.
But the ambiance must be special.
It's so blah. It's so
really?
Whatever. It's tiny. You can't hear anything. It's just, like, all hype. And that pisses me off because I'm, like, there's so much good, cheap, or affordable food here in L.A., that it's like, but also I'm fine with like fine dining if they feed you. Like if you know, I get it. Like some people are top of their field. They're chefs that have been like training forever and they've been like, you know, and great. I mean, there's always going to be like top of your field, more expensive in any field. Fine. But like, I don't want to have to go get tacos after I spend fucking so much money on this tiny, you know, piece of lettuce.
I love a grilled romaine lettuce.
Well, but the other thing about fine dining, like especially that place you just mentioned and some others, which is like, it is a thing also where it's like taking the food of people of color, charging 8 times more than it should cost and selling it to white people.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm fine not censoring this, but like, that's like basically like David Chang's entire empire. And it's not like he does it bad.
Yeah.
He does a good job, but
he's repackaging.
Yeah.
Like,
for the price, you could go literally 10 miles in either direction to K-Town or the San Gabriel Valley from his LA restaurant and get the same thing for like a third as much.
But he's making it accessible.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
Because I think a lot of people, if you aren't of that community or of that culture, it can be intimidating sometimes. You're like, but it's like, yo, they're going to, it's all about selling, baby. So you go in there, they're going to hook you up either way.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I guess that is what it is. What's a very cheap place that you would suggest to people that isn't getting enough love before I go to the underrated, unless that's your underrated?
There's a taco truck on Fletcher that's $1 tacos, and they're good.
Okay, which one?
It doesn't even have a name.
Oh, shout out to them.
Unnamed.
Unnamed is always good.
Yeah. I don't even know the name of it, but it's honestly for $1, it's so good.
That's what I love.
Yeah. Unnamed, it's this random taco truck on like Fletcher and...
like near the Red Lion?
Here's how you find it. If you're in LA, just start walking in concentric circles. If you see a taco truck and be like, you got a name?
Yeah.
And if they say, we're this, and you're like, nah.
El Froggy, no. What else? You know, the Koch brothers.
Diet Coke.
Those lovely, lovely boys. They have like this think tank where they were basically working on what they thought would be like a hit piece or hit study on the whole Medicare for All plan that, you know, Bernie Sanders and many other progressives have been propping up, especially a lot of people who we suspect will be running for president in 2020. But there's also, you know, this thing is obviously a huge threat to the status quo. And there are naysayers from the left and the right who have been like, you know, where's this money going to come from, or it'll never work? And the answer is the money will come from all the rich people who aren't paying taxes, like actually rich, not your uncle who's making 200 grand a year. We're talking about people who are making hundreds of millions of dollars.
The funny thing is, they eventually do give money to the government, just not through taxes.
Right, exactly.
Through massive payoffs.
Right, exactly.
It's a form of taxation, right?
No, 100%. So,
but it's your choice of taxation, which I think we should have on the low level, right? Like, wouldn't it be great if you're like, okay, I'm never going to have kids, so I'm not going to support schools. I don't give a fuck. But you want...
You don't get anything else.
You want sweet roads.
Well, then what do? You get
to,
on
like,
a payment plan?
Down.
Yeah, like, cruise down the one.
Yeah.
On
listen,
the shoreline.
I want to, like launch my Tesla down... I want to lube up the one and launch my Tesla down, like, a slippery little toboggan.
Hell yeah.
And, yeah.
That's a utopia you're describing.
Just cruise the one.
It's impossible. And that's why the Koch brothers have done their part to tear this myth down. I guess they released a study. Well, it's their funded group. I think it's like the Mercatus Institute or whatever, where they were saying, like, they wanted to gross people out at what the price tag is of this whole Medicare for all idea where, you know, everyone has health insurance and people just don't die because they literally can't afford it. I mean, that's just, you know.
I'm going to feel like it's going to be surprisingly low.
Well, they were saying that, oh, now hold on to your butts, because they're telling us it's going to cost $32 trillion over the next decade. So let's take that in perspective.
How does that break down?
That's a huge number. I guess that would be about $3.2 trillion a year for 10 years.
You look at our, like, you know, government spending, though.
Yeah.
Trillions is a pretty normal thing, especially over a decade.
But I guess they want to just put it as, like, this Medicare for all things is going to cost $32 trillion out the gate.
And then, like, the quick, like, over the next 10
years. Over the next 10 years.
And you're like, and my spinal surgery will cost me my life.
Yeah.
So let's just do it.
So in the U.S., right, we spend about $3.3 trillion a year on healthcare costs. That's, like, that's between, like, the government, people, private employers and things like that. That's about what's being spent. So when you take into account, like, things like inflation and things like that, we would actually end up saving about a little over $2 trillion over the next decade if we move to a Medicare for all plan. But again, I don't think
so
they realized that that's what their study would actually show people. It's like, well, fine, let's compare that to what we're doing now. It's still cheaper.
I've never
heard of
inflation.
But we can't profit off of that.
Right.
I love when rich people cuck themselves. It's such a pleasure to watch.
Well, really, yeah, especially the Koch brothers.
Well, they bank
who have been...
on that no one's going to think about inflation or things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially the average person. They're like, just what? See, there it is.
Well, and then you think about, like, what this actual plan would be. Like, the Sanders plan would be to provide comprehensive coverage for all residents of the United States, including primary, preventative care, emergency and hospital services, maternity and newborn care, prescription drugs, substance abuse and mental health services, pediatrics, lab and diagnostic services. It guarantees dental, vision, audiology, and abortion coverage. This is the kind of thing
almost
that,
like, the things
that
you need to survive.
Socialism away from me.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
You call me queer.
Wait, what's this? I can,
like,
be
socialists
helped.
Socialists want us to stay alive.
Nah, yeah.
It's.
I don't see how that works.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of how. That's again when there are massive industries behind it who stand to lose trillions of dollars. That's when they have to activate
it's
the
so
machine
weird.
To be like, this is what it's going to cost. I mean, this is
like,
too much.
The political, like, or what? I don't know. Like, social structures of, say, capitalism and socialism. It's like, it really feels like so many people just cling to capitalism because they're like, it's like playing the lottery all the time where you're like, I could be a millionaire though.
Right.
I could be massively wealthy and, like, just, you know,
right.
be a star or something like that. And socialism is all just like, I just want everybody to be okay.
Yeah. Let's start from
the selfish.
There. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre.
Let me have $500 million and then, like, let the poor people fucking deal
with
it.
Figure it out. Speaking of someone who has literally 3 weeks left of health insurance.
It's been three
story...
weeks. Is it gonna
be? And then you're gonna die. Yeah, this story is infuriating.
Oh, you're about to get off the family plan?
I'm about to do that fun thing that you get to do leading up to your 26th birthday, where you just see doctors for the last time. You just see them for the last time. They give you a kiss. It's like the Wizard of Oz over and over.
You break up with them. But
yeah,
it's
you're
sweet.
Just like,
it's
listen,
nice.
It's been,
I don't know.
We've
when
had
I'm
a great
you.
Run.
You're going to college. You know, it's you break up with a high school
I'm
boyfriend.
Like, listen, the gum disease is going to come back. It's going
to
gonna start bleeding, you know? What
can you show me
do?
Some roots I could dig up that would help for this?
I'm literally going to go to my doctors and be like, so what's, like, an at-home hack for surgery? Like,
body
what
hack,
could I do?
Body hack. Hack the body. Yeah, do push-ups. Body hack, do 10 push-ups in the morning. Do 10 push-ups in the evening. Boom. Yeah. Gum disease cured.
Gum disease probably cured.
With push-ups. Yep. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Bye.
And we're back. And guys, it wouldn't be a weekend unless we're talking about the fucking guy that's the president, Donald Trump.
Wait, who is president?
Yeah, it happened. It happened. I know you said don't wake you out of your cryo sleep till 2028, yeah. But we had to. I'm sorry, Dave. He's the president. So, he had a rough weekend, and I don't know what it could be, whether it's maybe Paul Manafort's trial starting up this week or, you know, Cohen flipping like Simone Biles or bad approval ratings. I don't know. It's probably all of these things that has added to president just, you know, breakdown. I think he tweeted like 31 times over the weekend, and he had something for everybody, whether it was immigrants or the press or Mueller, just fucking anything. First, we found out that he had a meeting with the publisher of the New York Times and claimed that he was like, when he was there, they told him it was really good that he's like such a genius for creating the term fake news and how like fake news is such a problem in the media. And that was his description of this meeting. Hmm. And it was supposed to be off the record. So after the publisher of the New York Times heard that, he's like, oh, okay, well, then I guess this wasn't off the record. Let me tell you what we were actually talking about.
Wow.
So apparently what happened was Sulzberger, who is the publisher, I think it's A.G. Sulzberger, A.M. Mm-hmm. It's some initial fancy name.
Yeah.
He pointed out to Trump that foreign leaders like authoritarians and despots have taken up Trump's language and angle of attack. And the reason is not hard to discern. Autocrats from Manila to Yangon, Ankara to Caracas, they're saying have found it advantageous to point out that even the president of a country that gave primacy to freedom of speech and the press in its constitution disdains the news media as fake. So they're kind of like, hey, this is not good. You're also breaking down our fucking democracy by constantly attacking the fourth estate journalism and calling them shit like the enemy of the fucking people, which he's been doing. You're just incite your base, and it's completely, completely disrupting just the country.
Well, yeah, what's so wild about it is when you – if you really – like – I feel like some people are like, I don't know what the big deal is. If you really want to see what the big deal is, just have an argument with anybody who supports Trump on Twitter and then try giving any facts.
Right.
And it's so wild that now, no matter what, it's not even anything. Just anything that disagrees with their point of view, they're like, well, you can't trust that source. That source isn't. It's like,
well, did you see that thing that Leslie Stahl said like 3 or 4 months ago?
She interviewed him.
Yeah, she interviewed him, and she wrote somewhere online. Maybe it was an article, but I think it was just on Twitter. She said that before the interview, it was just her and Trump and maybe an aide in the room, and she turned to him because she's a badass and was like, hey, what's this fake news bullshit? What is this? Why are you doing this? And he said to her, with no one else in the room thinking it would not never go anywhere, he said, oh, yeah, I do that to discredit you.
Yeah.
So when you say bad things about me, they won't believe you.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I guess I should have known that it was that level of deviousness
from him.
We think of him as such a buffoon that he couldn't be doing it on purpose, but it's absolutely calculated manipulation.
Yeah. At that point, that's just his self-survival, self-preservation 100%. Instincts to be like, oh, you're talking shit? Well, that means you're a scumbag and you're an enemy of the people, so therefore, whatever you say is a lie.
At the highest level, though.
Yeah.
And then, like you're saying, it trickles down to every conversation you have with anybody right now.
Yeah. And that's when the funny thing is like, you know, we can look at it as this devious smart move, but it's not smart. It's just simple gaslighting.
Yeah,
it's literally every shitbag ever has
true.
That tactic.
You're right.
And it's like, damaging. Yeah.
I mean, we had that as kids when you a parent teacher conference is like, no, that teacher just hates me. They're just doing it. I mean, their parents are smart enough to not listen to us. But now we're at an age where people are so desperate to get what they want. You know, they just will believe anything. Like, let's talk about just real quick about the money going to the farmers. Like, his poor base are thinking, oh, he's just giving money away now. Yeah. It's good. But it's like, no, these are people with money getting money. It's not going to go to the 1% of family-owned farms.
Yeah, the small farmers,
right. You know, it's going to go to these big conglomerates because, you know, Samax, her cousin, who I used to live with, they lived on a farm. And they sold milk. And I was like, oh, man. You know, how much money's in that? And they're saying not much because the big companies would come buy up all the milk for pennies and then sell them in the grocery store for, you know, how much milk is about $2-3, you know? So really the small farmers that we try and think about are who the
right
tries
to. When you think a farmer, you think a guy in overalls with like a straw hat on. It's like,
right, and they're millionaires.
No, it's these millionaires who are screwing over those guys who are going to get the check all the time. So it's so funny when you do want to think about, all right, yeah, I know black people have it bad, but you know whites have it bad too. And it's like, yeah, but the way you're going about it isn't going to help them at all.
Yeah,
it's like saying, yeah, like retail is really taking a hit. We want to help those mom and pop stores. And we're going to give $12 billion in relief to Walmart and Best Buy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, hold on, what the fuck? It's essentially what's going on. So, yes, that was that piece of the puzzle. The New Yorker put out a great piece on the entire interaction, and they were saying, as the one of the editors and the publisher of the New York Times was talking to Trump and telling him about all this criticism, he was like, okay. Like they said, he was acting as if he was taking this on board. He never apologized for anything, but they're like, we'd really like you to consider that. It's just something to think about. And he was like, yep. Then 9 days later, he gets on his Twitter fingers and puts his chest out and is like, yeah, they're fucking, you know, they were praising me and like they know they're the enemy of the people. It's like, come
on. Wow.
You know, if we were to get
it's unreal.
Dark real quick. I don't know what this fool will say if we were attacked because of the things he said. Like if there is a tragedy and, you know, a bunch of Americans are killed because of his actions, like what is his stance gonna be? What is like is he
his
still
stance
gonna
be I didn't do it.
Yeah.
It was Obama. Always will be.
Yeah.
Obama should have seen this coming.
Well, that's been
or something so completely it's shifting the blame.
It blows my mind that people are still talking about Obama. Like, one of the big things that the right has been taking is when we call out immigration stuff. It's like, I wonder why you're not talking about why you weren't talking about this during the Obama era.
We were.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we were. You just weren't paying attention because you weren't trying to defend it then. You were very much okay with it.
Well, they were too focused on getting the black man out of the White House than whether or not he was deporting people in record numbers. Oh, man. So obviously we all know that Russia had it out for the United States in the 2016 election. And, you know, by Putin's own admission, he wanted Donald Trump to win. So yesterday during the or right before the daily briefing, there was a parade of cabinet officials came out to sort of show a united front against the threat of Russian election meddling and cyber warfare, kind of. Because John Bolton started off by just kind of saying a bunch of bullshit about like, you know, Trump is the toughest president who's ever been tough to a Russian ever. And then he sat his sad Muppet ass down. And then we had people like Kirstjen Nielsen, FBI Director Chris Wray, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, General Paul Nakasone, who is the head of Cyber Command. They all basically had the same message, which is sort of like, Russia fucked with us, is fucking with us, and will continue to fuck with us, and we will probably do something about it. Now, each person had a little bit of a different take. Like, I mean, Paul Nakasone was pretty straightforward. He's like, this is not going to fly, and we are like, you know, we have a directive to address this. Now, I don't know if that means that the president himself has said, hey, you can take the break off, and now you can use everything at your disposal in your cyber arsenal to counter this and launch an offensive attack.
I feel like that didn't happen.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I don't know. But it's very clear that they were also showing sort of themselves to be like, look, we're in a tough spot where we know what's going on. We're trying to help, but we can only do so much without the fucking commander-in-chief actually telling us, you know, it's time to act. And it's just really unsettling to see that all these people who are like the spy chiefs and people whose business it is to know what's going on in the world, saying like, hey man, something bad is going to happen and we don't have the commander-in-chief leading us.
I mean, objectively, if we're looking at this objectively and not with a, you know, this is our team biased, pretty strong move from Mr. Putin to bring our commander-in-chief out and parade him out and be like, hey, I have control of this dude, so anything you guys try to do, I'm going to see because he's going to tell me.
Right.
So it was like he was like when everybody was reacting in Helsinki or whatever, I was like, no, this is he's saying a lot more than he's saying here, you guys.
Yeah.
Because like, what do we do?
Right. Because, yeah, he was sort of like, yeah, I wanted him to win. Look at him right there. We just talked for 2 hours and nobody knew what we talked about.
Except for including a translator who, you know, I'm good at poisoning people. That's my thing. So I'm just saying.
Well, we'll see what
happens. So what you're saying is he's basically denying the reality. Like, these guys are all saying, hey, this is real.
This is real.
And they're just basically saying, but we can't do anything until the president actually acknowledges it's real?
They're saying that they can, but what they're saying is, like, of course we're going to, like, we formed a task force. We're going to do what we can. But you need, you know.
I think what they're saying is they're saying, listen, we can try some stuff, but it does have to go through this dingbat, and we don't know if he's telling them what we're about to do, and it's going to be ineffective completely.
Like an idiot coffee filter where all the stuff just gets stuck right there.
Right, it's exactly.
It's like the end of the cigarette that's just collecting all the tar.
Yeah.
All that tar is like the
truth. And then it tweets.
Yeah.
Right. 100%.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, could you just imagine, like, after 9/11, like, if George Bush just, like, stayed in the cut, and then you have, like, cabinet officials being like, hey, man, America is going to be all right. It's like, hold on, where the fuck's the president? Like, where's the fucking leader?
Well, Daddy Bush has always been the only one since, like, every ex-president always has the option to get the security stuff every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the only ex-president to ever want it was Daddy Bush.
Well, yeah, you know, he's from the CIA.
I
mean,
yeah, so. I think, yeah, it's like him checking the paper every morning. Like, see what's going on in the world today.
You just can't quit that intelligence life.
But I think that says a lot about who he is. And then I'm sure his son is like, no, I don't want that anymore.
He's like, I want to buy a huge aquifer in Mexico and paint my pictures.
No, I was a puppet. I kept saying that, you guys.
Do you think this will affect the ending to Creed 2?
I hope so,
because I really hate for politics to play out in my
my
Rocky movies.
We'll see what happens. I mean Ivan Drago's kid looks pretty tough.
Yeah, right.
He looks really tough in that trailer.
And at the end, it just goes Ivan Drago and just grabs poor Creed.
Yeah.
Nope, he's with me now.
No, he's with me. Sorry.
There's the writer's room just watching all this with like a total different look at it than everyone else. Like, this is a nightmare. Like, you're telling us.
Yeah. Or like Ivan Drago somehow just, works a deal out with Creed to take a fall in the sixth round. Yeah. Like, all right, that's a good man. Good boy. So moving on to the culture wars, the New York Times is showing everybody how cool of a publication they are. So they hired Sarah Jong to write, some op-eds and stuff for them and join that editorial board. But the problem here is that she made jokes about white people on Twitter a while back. So the alt-right and the conservatives are coming out full force and being like, she's racist. And the problem here isn't that the New York Times fired her. It's that they acknowledged their cries of racism as if they were valid in any fucking way and put out a statement about like, yeah, you know, there's bigotry like on all sides and we got to do something. And, you know, she'll never say anything like that again.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, here's the deal. They have to be victims in order to sort of really get their outrage machine going. And, you know, like this whole idea of when people of color like talk about white people, you know, it's a way of talking about the power structures that already exist that we're pushing back against. It's not the same as saying like, oh, like these black people deserve to get killed by the police or whatever.
Yes.
That's very different. So again, there's this whole thing where we see constantly that the right sort of weaponizes this faux outrage to try and get concessions from people who are actually objectively not doing anything wrong. But they also have problematic characters on their editorial board, like Barry Weiss, who's just so out there. I mean, read any number of her opinions and they are from planet like fucking unbelievable. But I think this is just a growing trend. So this week, this was the latest scalp, I think, that right-wing Twitter tried to claim in the sort of like, I can't believe they said that. And like, they are actually the racists for calling out racism.
It is a weird, to me, what it boils down to is like a power thing where there is and I've, you know, you can see it in every aspect of life, small town life to, you know, this bullshit. But it's like that some people know how to handle power.
Mm-hmm.
They understand like, oh, I'm in power now. Some people are going to say some shit at me because of that. That's part of the responsibility.
Right.
And some people don't know how to react back to it.
Right.
And as white people, we are the majority. So people get to say shit to us.
Right.
That's part of like, you know, not like being able to go to the cops and ask for directions.
Right.
That
or be like, I think this person at my pool has socks on.
Yes.
Can you come get them?
That kind of shit. Yeah, it's like, that's like a trade-off where there is like, that's how the world actually works. And if you want to acknowledge like that.
Yeah, but you're in that minority of people who are at least aware of how sort of structurally
racism
exists.
I'm coming to understand that I am part of a minority of that majority. Yes, I am coming to understand that. Yes.
This is like the most frustrating thing for me right now.
Right.
Like, especially when it comes to comedy and it comes to all this stuff, like you can't equate two things together like this. You can't say that like actually saying like white lives matter and all that bullshit is the same as somebody making a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Over
who
here.
Said, I can't watch Breaking Bad cause it's a show about white people whining. That's like a thing they cut out. And we're like,
I understand.
Yeah.
It's incredibly silly, and I don't know how to, like, I can't even look at it anymore. The stuff that they're trying to do to Michael Ian Black, you know, the stuff that did you see any of the stuff that went on at JFL with
what's the that YouTuber character called?
Southern Mama.
Southern Mama. Yeah.
It's okay. Original premise too.
Yeah, super original. Mm-hmm. Stolen from Dot Fawn, stolen from, you know.
Right.
And but he gets up there and he just dies.
Right.
Like, it was the worst set. It was a diarrhea themed set.
That's being kind.
Yeah.
To what happened.
Yeah, it was bad. But to end it off and just go, oh, you know, comedy is a place for laughing, and that's what I brought you. It's not a place to talk about race or sexuality.
Right.
And then kind of walk off stage and then call Dulce precious. And
right.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
It's just dumb, insulated. I mean, I do a bit, and I just did it across the South where I was, the people ask me, like, what's the worst part of the South? And I'm like, Alabama, before they finish that question. And they're without a doubt, they're used to, like, what about Mississippi? I'm like, well, it's not Mississippi's fault. The education system there is really bad. They don't know any better. I did that in Mississippi, and I got applause. And they're like, he's done the research. We just... And then I did that in Birmingham. I was like, Alabama, they know better. They just don't give a shit. I did that in Birmingham and got applause, which is not what you're going for at all. I was like, I was trying to shame you guys.
Right,
you guys are like, that's us.
Yeah, we don't give a shit.
But it is that kind of. That's what you're. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's this thing, this assumption that you can equate two things. Like, he has any right to decide what comedy needs to be about.
Right.
Especially after all these people came out and killed it, talking about race, talking about things, you know, sexuality, race and sexuality, and then some white guy over here deciding what's funny.
Right.
Some YouTuber that's not even a stand-up.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing on Twitter. All this stuff is this group of people trying to equate two things that have nothing to do with each other, that they have no business deciding
what's right,
what's wrong.
Well, and part of that, too, is that thing of when anybody doing quote-unquote art and they're critiqued, and their response is always like, well, I made this much money and I sold this many tickets. Like, that's not what we're...
Right.
That's not the critique. We're critiquing the bullshit you're doing in your thing, or the stolen part or whatever it is. And they're like, 150,000 last weekend. You're like, okay.
I mean,
that's fair. But, I mean, what are you... This is not what we're talking about.
That whole thing with the fastest growing comedian in history.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Fucking know what that means.
Who is that?
Yeah.
That's what... Same guy.
That's what he was... Oh, I'm the fastest... Okay.
Cool. In American history.
In American history.
Cool. Which, I mean, sure, maybe. According
I don't know. I don't know how you equate any of that stuff. And I don't know that you could measure it back in the day, but...
Yeah, right.
But then, you know, you start looking at...
Mark Twain, I don't know. He rose pretty quick.
Pretty quick. As fast as you could, considering how long it took books to get from place to place.
And that horse he was riding
on. Yeah, exactly. But when you start talking about this lady making problematic jokes. She made jokes.
Right.
This is why Twitter has to go away. Twitter has to go away, or we all have to just make like a pact, like a written pact. Like, we will not charge anybody for the bad jokes they made.
Right.
10 years ago. We all swing, right?
Right.
As people, as human beings, and as comedians, as professionals, we all take big swings, and they're not always going to hit. And that's the whole point, right?
Yes.
If I had to hold myself accountable for everything I've ever said as a joke to somebody that didn't hit versus what did, I couldn't leave my house.
Right.
And
someone shot you in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that was like, if you held people accountable for jokes, like you held them accountable for truly terrible things that we don't hold people accountable for.
Right.
Right.
Like destroying people's lives financially.
Right.
That's a thing that happens every day. And it's, I think some of it may be a symptom of misplaced anger because we don't have those avenues right now to be like,
oh, of course,
change this.
Right.
Yeah.
These comedians, and we apologize a lot, comedians, because we just want people to be happy. So when people are like, hey, you said this, like after a show, usually like, well, it's, you misunderstood what I was saying.
Yeah.
I'm not going to apologize for what I'm saying. I'm going to apologize for hurting your feelings because it's not what I intended.
Yeah.
Right.
And people don't get that.
And that's exactly fair. But that's the thing, like what you're saying is a joke.
Yeah,
there may be some rings of truth in there, and there may be some parts of that. But people like this alt-right kind of group, you know, what they're saying is what they believe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. You can't equate those two things. And unfortunately, because it just lives on Twitter, all of a sudden everybody who's ever made a fucking joke is automatically that person, as opposed to this person that clearly states, like, I hate white people.
Right, right, right.
And they're like, oh no, these are the same.
Yeah,
that's the problem. And until we can either just go, okay, let's erase all this stuff, or take a step away from it, we're going to end up fighting these dumb battles where people try to compare two things like they're the same.
Yeah, that are totally incomparable. Yeah. And I think that's part of, I think, the feeling on the right, too, is that they're seeing that, like, liberal or progressive thought is sort of like the preempt. Like, people just sort of gravitate towards that. And when those people have such sort of scathing critiques of how ignorant their opinions are, their only way to, like, to fight back is sort of be like, well, how do I take this person down by any means necessary, even if that's through some kind of, you know, just really weak argument.
If you examine the far left or the far right, they're very similar in what they want fundamentally, which is just people to do what they fucking want them to do without any, you know, pushback at all. That's either one, like, you can't say this or you can't say this. Like, saying, I'm still to the point, I grew up in a small town in the South where I heard all kinds of shit growing up.
Right.
A lot of it confused me because it was just white people. So I was like, I don't understand where the hatred's coming from. It's just the other white people. So it still confuses me. But I still come from the point where everyone should be able to say whatever they want, whenever they want. That's fine. It's when they start legislating or when they start encroaching on your ability to have your rights, that's when it's a problem.
Right. If it's just
like, that's where even the left, I get in trouble because of my accent. Because, and I'm like, hey, to the left, like, yo, just chill on saying what people can and can't. Let them say whatever. That's fine. You need to let them say whatever. When you're telling anyone they can't say something, that's when they're going to be like, well, now I need to do something.
Right.
That's where the argument, I think, right now is we need to pull that back and be like, let them say whatever the fuck they want to say.
Right.
It's fine.
So I guess in that sense, if people have the platform to sort of get more and more people on board or to obscure discussions about race or things like that, do you feel that there's no danger to that?
No, there's always a danger, but there's a danger to being alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a point that both sides are, we aren't addressing. Is that one side is like, everything's dangerous, and the other side is like, everything needs to be safe, where it needs to be somewhere in the middle, because that's with the balance, and there's no balance right now.
Right.
To the left and
just
right.
Extremes, just yes. Two extremes going like...
And then there's a lot of people, and there's a ton of people in the middle going like, both sides need to chill, and we're not being heard in the middle.
Right.
Because as soon as we say something, they're like, well, you're a moderate, you don't believe this and this, and you're like, no. All of us can exist.
Right.
We don't have to kill each other.
Yeah. Well, that's an important thing to think about. With that, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the whole 3D gun issue we were talking about yesterday. A judge has temporarily blocked Cody Wilson from Defense Distributed, his attempt to put 3D gun printing instructions online. So that's good for now. But, you know, we kind of wanted to sort of re-examine the whole tweet that Donald Trump had yesterday when he's like, I'm looking into 3D plastic guns being sold. Already spoke to the NRA. Doesn't seem to make sense. And we're just sort of like, what is it about the, like, why is the right kind of okay with 3D guns when they're clearly a dangerous thing? Like, John Malkovich's fucking character, I remember, like, in The Line of Fire, didn't he have a fucking plastic gun that he was planning to use, like, in the thing? Like, the idea of a plastic gun is a very dangerous prospect for any law enforcement person or human beings.
Also wasteful. You don't want to use plastic.
Yeah. Let me look at what it's doing to the seas.
Lil Wayne taught me about plastic guns.
Really?
Yeah. There's a rap line where he's like, and she was like, how to shoot if it's plastic.
There you go.
Yeah. That's when I first learned about. It was a plastic gun because then you can like get it through, before you could get it through TSA when it was just metal.
Yeah.
But now they like look at shapes.
Yeah, exactly. They give you that body scan. They'll look at you naked.
My take on this is we're fucked. That's it. It's over.
Of course. I mean,
if it's out there, we're not going to block it.
I don't know, man. I think that one, accessibility to 3D gun printers isn't going to be for your average Joe Blow. It's going to be for the people who
there's
can already afford.
There's 3D printers in libraries in Austin, Texas.
Yeah. And
is
you can
that
get
crazy?
And they're becoming more and more
that's
affordable.
True. They're there's at design 3D schools. I've seen them.
It's crazy.
I think
I don't know, once you're allowed to have 3D, but then again, it's like, how many metal detectors are stopping guns?
Right.
Are they?
I mean, I don't think anyone's
like, how many
stupid
guns are they
enough
seizing
to keep
at metal
fucking
detectors?
I mean, if you're dumb enough to have a blammer on you and walk through a fucking metal detector, like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
you're either the
like,
dumbest
who's
dude.
Who's going to the airport with guns? I guess you would just do it then. If you
yeah, right.
Yeah.
But again, like the whole NRA thing, it's like, why do they need to chime in? You'd think they would be against having these guns like being proliferated because they can't profit off it, or the traditional gun industry can't profit off it if people are just making their own shit at home. And, you know, like, you know, as our writer Jan McNabb put it, it's like, you'd think that they would be treating these guns the same way the music industry treated Napster. Like,
right.
We don't, what the fuck are you doing? But again, it's just, they're very, very fine with it. And I think it makes sense until you realize that these guns can't be traced or registered. And that is a big gun control advocacy, like, concern, is that, like, it's the registering of guns that they are very, very concerned about. It's like their second biggest fear is the registry, because that means that they could take your guns. And a lot of hardcore gun owners, they've been pushing back because there are quotes from people saying, hey, well, stuff goes to hell, I guess, if there's liberals in control of the government. They don't want their guns to be confiscated.
Hey, I think we should go back to Chris Rock's joke. Just don't allow bullets to be sold.
Or make them so expensive.
Because you're not going to 3D print bullets.
Yeah.
And if you make bullets really hard to get, then it'll prevent a lot of that stuff.
Make one bullet $20,000.
Yeah.
I just... Like, we act like we have gun control now. We don't.
Right.
So, like, everyone's like, oh, but gun control. I'm like, bruh, I've been in shootings that I forgot about.
I have three on me right now, on my person.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad shootings are. I was a friend of mine actually was in a shooting recently in L.A., and thank God he was okay. But it made me think, like, oh, my God, I don't know how I would act if I was in a shooting. And I was like, oh, fuck, I've been in many shootings.
Yeah.
Like, I had to really think back. I don't know. Like, we don't have gun control as it is right now. And also, I don't know about the bullets thing. Or like making the guns more expensive, but I think like if you have a gun and if you really are quoting the Second Amendment, bruh, that was so that if the government knocked on your door and was like, hey, it's lit, we gonna need you to join the army real quick, right. You would do it. So if you own guns, are y'all ready to go fight for the country? Like,
well, no, or in this case, fight against the country, or let's be real, it's the fear of the Browns that a lot of people are hoarding their guns.
Meanwhile, we are the ones who should be afraid. You know, I actually fake like lock my door and grab my purse when I see white people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm afraid.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.